Discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square. And finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
If you listen closely enough, you can almost hear America holding its collective breath. This presidential campaign has offered the nation mudslinging to a degree that I think would have made Thomas Jefferson and John Adams shake their heads. In the midst of the name-calling and the pundits yelling, two University of Northwestern students stand as refreshing counterpoints of respect and cooperation, despite being on two ends of the political spectrum. Cole Berkeland is a history major and leader of University of Northwestern's Democrats group. Nick Solheim is an interdisciplinary major combining political science and public relations, and he is the leader of Northwestern's College Republicans group. Not only are these two friends, they even share a dorm room. And we welcome you both on the road this week. How's it going, gentlemen?
Doing great. Living the dream.
Yeah, doing good. Thanks for having us on the show.
Let's talk about your friendship here, guys. How long have you known each other?
Well, let's see. We probably first met each other. You know, we're sophomores right now, and so we would have first met each other before the school year started, before our freshman year started. So what is that? About a year? A little over a year?
Like a year and like 3 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, was there an instant sort of kinship, or did you see this guy and you were like, I don't know about this guy?
It was actually almost like immediate for us. When we were first getting to know each other, you know, we realized, wow, we're really going to be like the two political guys on, or at least in our graduating class or whatever. So it was kind of immediate. And when we first met, we actually talked about hanging out, and we went to the Mall of America, and we walked around for probably 3 or 4 hours, didn't go in any stores, just talked about politics, and it was pretty clear immediately, you know, that we were on opposite ends of the spectrum, but it was a very, I guess, friendly discourse and conversations that we had, and after that we saw the new Mission Impossible movie with Tom Cruise, and I think it just sealed the deal, you know. after that day, I feel like we've been pretty fast friends ever since.
That's tremendous. Take me back a little bit here, Cole. Did you start to care about politics from a relatively young age? Not that your age right now is particularly advanced, but does this go back a good ways for you?
Yeah, if I were going to trace back when I first got interested in politics, it would have been with the presidential elections of specifically 2012. 2008, you know, I just remember turning on the TV and seeing one of the debates between Obama and McCain, and I would have been in about sixth grade at this time. And I just remember just thinking, like, wow, that's a sharp guy, you know, and just paying attention to the things that he said. You know, 2012 election came through. I started to actually, you know, by now I'm, you know, I don't know, a sophomore in high school.
Sure.
Or something like that. And I started to actually really, really be fascinated with it. And then I started to read more and more books up on political, you know, I started just hanging out in my high school library more often, reading political books and writing about it, giving speeches. Whenever I had the freedom to write about what I wanted to in high school, I just found myself writing more and more about politics, giving more and more speeches about it. And I started to haven't really been able to backtrack since then. It's only gone farther along. So,
how about you, brother? When did it start for you?
Well, for me, it's I can see kind of God's hand on my life all the way up until now, leading me to work in politics. Specifically, I remember when I was like 4, 5, 6, you know, my parents would like turn on the TV, you know, watching cartoons or whatever, and they'd come back maybe a little while later and I'd be watching like the Weather Channel or CNN or Fox News or something like that. Like I could just never watch normal kid things. I just like always loved watching the news and stuff like that. So that continued for quite some time. I've always tried to stay kind of updated on what's going on in the world, whether it be politically or not, just about anything. And then when we moved to Honduras, like I was telling you, you know, before the show, my parents are missionaries, and yeah. I spent a lot of my teenage years there. I really saw that there were a lot of, you know, obviously there are a lot of problems in a lot of these third world countries, and you could kind of see, the how politics influences that and how it sometimes causes that, or how a different political ideology could fix some of those problems and things like that. So once I got back here to the United States, I looked and I was like, wow, you know, this was right when right after a lot of the candidates had just announced their campaign for presidency. And I was really sitting here saying, wow, I have, you know, an opportunity to make a difference and to make sure that a lot of these things that happen in other countries that cause problems don't happen here. So that's really the moment that kind of sealed the deal. And I've just been sprinting towards November 8th ever since.
Nick Solheim and Cole Berkeland are the chairs of the College Democrats and College Republicans at the University of Northwestern in St. Paul, Minnesota. They're also roommates and great friends, offering a much-needed ray of hope in what has been an awfully cloudy election year, I think it's fair to say. And I want to ask you guys about your take on this particular election cycle in just a moment. But I wonder, first off, what's been the key when you've encountered these inevitable moments of disagreement, when you discover that your best laid out argument isn't changing the other's mind? What is the key to continue to be friends and not just walk away from the relationship out of unbridled frustration?
Well, that's actually a really good question. You know, the thing for the two of us is, you know, as we've already established, is that we completely disagree on, you know, a lot of issues in politics, but we live together and we're close friends. And so we respect each other's opinions. You know, I understand where he's coming from and he understands where I'm coming from. And so when we have discussions, which we very frequently do, you know, our room is full of posters of candidates from both sides. And we spend time, you know, we stay up later than we should discussing politics when we should be doing homework or sleeping. And we'll lay in our bed until, you know, 2-3 in the morning discussing political issues. But it's never disrespectful. And it never really gets overly confrontational. You know, we see it as a discussion, and we see that we both have equally valuable opinions to contribute. And I think the biggest thing for the two of us and what we've been able to see through it all is that we can actually kind of come to a consensus without compromising each of our, you know, ideas. Essentially, we can work together and come to an agreement. And I think that's what should be the message for everyone, you know, in legislative bodies or government is, yeah. You know, even though people are coming from a different opinion, they're coming from somewhere and they have reasons for their values and they have reasons for what they stand for, you know, especially if they're elected.
That's a fascinating point, isn't it? Trying to understand where the other person is coming from, mm-hmm. as opposed to assigning malignant motives to them almost right at the beginning. Is that part of what has allowed this to work out, do you think?
Right. So kind of jumping off of that, what Cole said, I think the biggest thing specifically for us, but as well as people on a day-to-day basis, you know, we both work on campaigns here in Minnesota, which we can get to in a minute, but we both have kind of gotten to the point where we realize, you know, all these people on the opposite side of the aisle, they're not sitting here trying to destroy the United States. They're not trying to make people miserable. They're not trying to ruin anything. They want to keep America great, and they want to do good things for the people, just like people on our side do. It's just we have different ways of going about it. And I think that's the way Cole and I in particular have approached it in our friendship, is just that, you know, hey, we have different ideas about how to do things, but that doesn't mean that our motives are bad or whatever. It just means we have different ideas about how to get there. And I think I think that's part of what makes what originally made America's political system great, is that, you know, idea that, hey, we can all debate and argue and you know, kind of come to a consensus without compromising our moral values. And that's the value of the American system.
That's very well said. Very well said. I wish that I had as much wisdom as you do, and yet I've had probably another decade to gain that wisdom, which is a little bit disappointing, but, you know, we'll talk about that some other time. Now, 2016 has been tough for, I think, people of good faith, I'd say, on both sides. This particular election cycle seems like there's so much mudslinging going on. And Cole, why do you think, as someone who's fascinated by this, as someone who's passionate about this, why is it so gloomy out there in 2016?
you know, a lot of people have frustrations, and you're seeing that on both sides. You know, you have the, you know, on the left, you have issues with like college debt and things like that. You know, that was seen a lot, you know, during the primary.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, you know, on the right, they have issues as well, you know, like, for example, you know, with Donald Trump, you know, kind of mobilizing people who wouldn't normally be focused on politics. And so it's all kind of just clashed. And so everyone just has this increased passion, and it's just sort of, it's been fueled, you know, because of, you know, the presidential election at the same time taking place. And so everything is just kind of clashed. And as we know, you know, over time, we've continued to just increase in just the polarization in our nation. And so, you know, sides have gotten further and further apart.
It almost seems as though there is, Nick, this echo chamber now that perhaps didn't exist. I mean, we talk about campaigns, go back to the beginning of the 1800s, and you talk about Jefferson versus Adams, and you know that those were ugly times. You know those were bad campaigns, but there wasn't Facebook, and there wasn't Twitter, and there weren't blog comments. Is that, as someone who is, in fact, a millennial yourself, I mean, is that something you see as contributing to perhaps the negative perception of this campaign?
I think it certainly adds to it, for sure. I mean, we've known, I think, as you know, the millennial generation as a whole, we've kind of started to realize, hey, people say mean things on the internet because it means they don't have to, you know, say it to somebody's face.
Yeah.
I think that's really probably the biggest reason why people do stuff like that. And that's not specifically a thing for people on the right or for people on the left. It's just kind of a general, you know, people are really frustrated about a lot of things going on in the United States today, whether it be in their you know, pocketbook, or whether it be in their social lives, or in how, you know, government is treating them, whatever, people are just frustrated. And I think it's really spilling over, especially into a lot of people's friendships and into social media. And for me personally, I think that's fine. You know, we need to hold our legislators and our you know, everyone who's an elected official accountable on social media, just as long as we, you know, draw the line in the sand saying it needs to be, you know, respectful. You can't, you know, criticize people on social media and say, well, you're just a horrible human being. Yeah. And you can't do stuff like that. You can say, hey, I disagree with this person. I'm not going to vote for them. Here's why. And that's, you know, social media is a great way to get that message out. That's, you know, part of what social media is intended to do.
Yeah.
But I think when it kind of gets to this mudslinging, it really, like Cole was saying, it really polarizes a lot. And really, it's just a bunch of people screaming at each other on the internet and nobody ending up with changed minds. I mean, seriously, think about it. When was the last time you got into a Facebook argument where somebody changed your mind?
Yeah.
I mean, it's never happened to me.
1996? I don't know.
Yeah, not only do you have people, you know, bashing each other on social media, you have presidential candidates doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes, exactly. Well, this has been a fantastic discussion thus far. Nick Solheim, Cole Berkeland are here. They are the chairs of the College Democrats and the College Republicans at the University of Northwestern in St. Paul, Minnesota. They're also roommates and great friends, and it is a much-needed ray of hope, I think, in what's been a particularly cloudy election cycle thus far. You know, I could be wrong, but it seems to me that this campaign specifically is really having an impact on people of faith, some of whom have been more outspoken in the past, but many of whom I'm talking to this year, and this is just anecdotal, I'll admit, but it seems that they're less certain about whether they want to be involved in 2016 than they perhaps have ever been. Cole, what do you say when you talk to your friends and you're talking about how faith intersects with politics? Why is it so important for us to be there?
Yeah. You know, it's always been such a complicated issue, you know, as Christians, you know, and how faith should interact with politics, you know, because politics can be extremely complicated. You know, it can be dirty, you know, something that it seems like we shouldn't be involved in. But and so a lot of people are particularly discouraged by this election, you know, because it's such an abnormal, you know, such a, you know, mudslinging is the buzzword, you know, and it's filled with a lot of, you know, dirty stuff. A lot of people would question the authenticity and integrity of both candidates, you know, You know, and it's certainly something that is troubling to Christians like us. And but when it comes down to it, you know, when we're concerned with the future of the nation, and when you feel discouraged by the way the country is going, when you think that, you know, things aren't going right, the worst possible thing to do is to take a step back. What you need to do when you see a problem in the country is that's when you need more than ever to step forward and get involved. And so, you know, however you do that, you know, it's up to you. Or, you know, people are talking about abstaining from voting. You should step forward and you should vote for who you believe is right. You know, you should look into it. You should look at it from all angles, and you should make an informed decision. And then you should try to, you know, do what you can to help, you know, to fight, because, I mean, we should keep fighting for the, you know, the stability and the progress of the country as a whole.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great word. Do you have anything to add on that, Sir Nick?
Yeah, I would say, you know, for me, as Christians, one of the biggest things we're called to do is to influence culture and influence the world we live in and, you know, be the city on a hill. And I think that doesn't just include, you know, your personal life, your home life. I really think that includes how you interact with other people, how you interact with your nation, how you interact with your leaders. It's a whole life thing. So whether it's getting politically involved, as in like volunteering on a campaign, or whether it just be, you know, doing your civic duty and voting, I think it's something that Christians are 100% called to do, because we're called to change the culture and the world we live in. And I think that's one of the most important parts. And there's not a single political decision that I make. You know, I work in politics right now, and there's not a single political decision I make that I make without prayer and without thinking and talking to God about what's the right call here. What should I do? You know, who should I vote for? Who should I campaign for? Whatever. So I think it's the duty of every Christian to have that same kind of introspective and make that a part of your prayer life. God, how can I help our nation, and how can I help lead it in a direction towards you? I think that's a really, really big deal, and I don't really think it's talked about enough. But I would say not only is it, you know, American civic duty to vote, but it's also Christians' biblical duty to be involved.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, with that, you know, as Christians, we can see the culture, and we can see it not going in the right direction necessarily.
Yeah.
And I think people underestimate how politics can be such an effective tool for combating that. You know, I think politics is something that we as Christians should take advantage of to be able to use for, you know, moving the country the way that it should be, you know, when we see that it's not going in the right direction.
Man, it's a great word. A lot of wisdom is flying around this table right now. I wish that you could see it, but you can hear it, which is a really good thing today as well here on the road. And, you know, you guys have talked about how continually engaging with each other has served to sort of fight against that effect in your own process of shaping your ideas and your worldviews, where sometimes I think when we talk about the echo chamber like we did before, if you listen to what you want to hear again and again, you just reinforce your own beliefs, and you never challenge those beliefs. But you've both talked about how living as you do and having as much dialogue as you do has helped combat that for you. Can you take us inside that?
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, like we were talking about earlier, you know, how if you see the other side as your enemy with evil intentions, you're going to have a hard time making progress. You have to understand where they're coming from. And, you know, like we're talking about, you know, specifically Nick and I, we live together and we see that that's not the case. You know, we have different ideas about the way that issues should be addressed. But at the same time, we realize we both want the common, you know, we both want to improve the, you know, the common good. And so we realize that if we have that common goal, even though we have different ways of approaching it, we can work together. And yeah, then we think that everyone should be able to work together. And, you know, as well, you know, kind of along the same lines, I'm from like a small rural town, you know, which is pretty conservative. And so yeah, in high school, a lot of, you know, people around me were conservative. And, you know, I'm the college Democrats, you know, so I typically have a more left-wing approach. But I think that helped me with this whole thing of being able to understand where everyone's coming from and, you know, having to sharpen each other's arguments,
yeah,
and work with people. And also being here at Northwestern, which is pretty conservative, it's the same thing with a different, you know, conservative demographic.
Nick, has Cole changed your mind on anything over the course of your time?
I wouldn't say he's changed my mind on any issue in particular. However, on top of what he said, you know, I will say I think that rooming with Cole and being, you know, great friends and talking about this stuff all the time, I will say it has made me smarter. It's made me stronger. It's taught me a lot of things about not just myself, but about, you know, the other side and about kind of how they think. And you know, as the Bible says, iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, and Proverbs 27.
Yeah, I think that's, like, if I had to ascribe a Bible verse to Cole and I's friendship, that would be it. Because, I mean, that's what it's been all along. Even since we met last year, you know, it's just been constantly. And I really think you underestimate how often we do this. Literally every night, like 1 or 2 in the morning, discussing about crazy things. Like, you know, we talked about, like,
the cool things.
The cool things. Like, whether, you know, Social Security should be taxed or not, and, you know, Minsure, Obamacare, all these different issues, you know. We seriously do this all the time. Anyone listening that, if they were to live in our dorm room, you know, they'd probably be bored half to death. But, I mean, it's really fun for us, and it's been able to, you know, I think, really make us better and more effective, particularly for our futures. I know Cole and I both have plans to work in politics as our careers advance and stuff like that. So I really think it's been, you know, it's just been one really great ride this whole time. And I would say Cole's definitely made me a better person. He's made me definitely a stronger political debater. But a lot of things besides that too. But yeah, iron sharpens iron, and our friendship has been just one crazy ride since we met each other.
We have just several minutes remaining here on the road on Faith Radio as we talk with Nick Solheim and Cole Berkelin, the chairs of the College Democrats and College Republicans at University of Northwestern in St. Paul. Also roommates and great friends. How's that for some countercultural information for you? You know, in our remaining moments here, guys, are there elements of what you two are doing here in this friendship that you think perhaps could be implemented by our friends in Washington, D.C., and maybe things might work out just a little bit better than they are right now?
We've really gotten to a point where our legislators and people in Congress are so polarized that they can't even work together because they don't, you know, try to unite. They don't try to unite behind the fact that, you know, hey, we're the legislators of the United States of America. That ought to be the most uniting principle out of everything, of all the people in that room. And the message that I would like to send to Congress is, if, you know, two millennials who aren't even 20 yet and both work on political campaigns in this state and can still be best friends and live together, if we can do it, I definitely think people in Washington should be able to do it, because, you know, they're a lot older, and they're you know, we elect people who are, you know, supposed to anyway know better than us.
Yes,
and
yes,
and say what they do. And my mom, actually, now that all this, you know, Cole and I have been on Fox 9 and WCCO and stuff, my mom's been going around telling everyone this one thing. She says, you know, I think if Cole and Nick can do it and can live together, we should make all our legislators in Washington room with the opposite parties.
That's a great idea.
So, I mean, that would be an interesting solution, to say the least. But I really think our legislators in Washington need to work together, because right now we're not going anywhere. We're dead in the water.
Yeah, that's huge right there, that whole point. You know, that, you want to kind of remind them, you know, in the legislature, like, who are you really working for? Are you working for your party and your partisan agenda, or are you working for the greater good of the country? And, of course, you should still be loyal to the things that, you know, the party that you were endorsed by, and because you definitely stand for those principles. But at the end of the day, you know, like he said, you're a legislator for the United States. And so whatever that means, you know, that's what you should keep in mind, you know, to keep the country moving forward, to keep making progress and working for, you know. Paul Wellstone always said politics is about improving people's lives, you know. And so that's, I think that's just kind of the core of it all.
Nick Solheim and Cole Berkeland from University of Northwestern St. Paul offering some wisdom that I think is far in advance of the years they have dwelled on this globe. Gentlemen, it's been great to have you both here. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah,
thank you.
Appreciate it.
And if you want to learn even more about Nick and Cole, you can head to unwsp.edu to read more about this awfully encouraging story. Thanks so much for tuning in to On the Road.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.